There is another kind of negative thought form that we need to talk about, and those are independent negative thought forms. Here's the protocol. You want to ask, is my client engaged with any independent negative thought forms? And if the answer is yes, you want to ask how many. Usually it's going to be between one and three, if any. And if there are independent negative thought forms, you want to ask, what is the energy through which they're engaged with the independent negative thought form? And you can use your programs and energetic statements chart. And then you want to also ask, through which chakra is this engagement happening? Now, independent negative thought forms are thought forms that have received so much mental energy from so many different people that they've actually become independent of any one person. They are basically able to take on a life of their own of sorts. So here's a great example, the tooth fairy. That would be an independent thought form, not necessarily a negative one, it's just an independent thought form. I mean, the tooth fairy is not real, but it's a concept, it's an idea that has become a part of collective consciousness for a very large number of people, at least here in the United States. It's a concept that is upheld by the mental energy of lots and lots of people, and therefore has gained independence from any one person. We buy into this concept or not. So we can choose to believe that the tooth fairy exists, or we can choose to tell our children stories of the tooth fairy, we can choose to put money under their pillow, we can choose that, or we can decide, tooth fairy, we're just going to tell our kids right from the start that that's not a thing. Either way, the concept of tooth fairy, it's going to exist with or without us on its own, because there's enough people that have put mental energy towards the concept that it's basically at this point self-sustaining. So there are millions of independent thought forms upheld in various parts of the world by various groups of people, whether those are religions or industries or educational institutions. Independent thought forms are simply concepts and ideas that are upheld by some aspect of collective consciousness. So a lot of people have bought into a concept or idea to the point where that concept or idea will always exist because it's just upheld by so many people and nurtured as a concept by so many people's mental energy. It's just no longer dependent on any one person. So let's not underestimate the power of these concepts and ideas. I mean, every parent that has ever snuck into their child's bedroom to leave money under their pillow knows that the tooth fairy actually has enough power to affect our choices. I mean, it's amazing, right? It's just a fictional concept. It's an idea, and yet we tell our kids about it, and when our kids lose their teeth, here we are sneaking into their bedroom, putting money under their pillow, getting that tooth, trying not to wake them up. I mean, sure, that's kind of fun or silly, whatever you want to say, but let's not pretend that this concept of tooth fairy doesn't have a measure of power, because it moves us to take action and make choices that without that concept, we wouldn't take. So we can choose to buy into an independent thought form. We can choose to participate with it or not, but they are truly independent. So they will always exist with or without our participation. It is our choice as to whether we engage with a concept or idea and uphold it or not. We choose. That's the choice we've got. The thought form exists. We can engage with it or not. Now, independent thought forms are really powerful. I mean, people have killed each other and continue to do so over independent thought forms associated with various religions. I mean, can you imagine how much vital force energy that would feed into the thought form? Now, of course, many ideas and concepts in collective consciousness affect us positively. So whether an independent thought form is positive or negative just depends on how and if we choose to engage with it. As always, we are at choice. So let's say, for example, that someone in the spiritual development community hears of the idea of the concept of an energy vampire. Now, they don't really examine this idea. They don't question whether it exists. They don't try to rationalize it. they already have enough resonance to the idea that someone would suck energy from them, that they buy into the idea, into the concept that energy vampires exist. And this is what happens all the time. We hear about something and we just go, oh, okay, it exists. Often, there's not a lot of question because we resonate with the concept. And someone who feels like, oh yes, people can drain my energy, you know, that's sort of aligned to how they think already, they're going to just accept that concept without question. Now, other people might think it's hogwash, but the thought form is independent. It doesn't really matter to the thought form. So let's say a person just chooses to buy into the concept, all right? So now they've chosen to engage with this independent thought form just by choosing its existence for themselves as a possible reality. So now the next time they feel depleted and tired, now they may make up a story about how one of their friends or coworkers or whoever they've spent time with, oh, there must be an energy vampire. They took my energy and now I'm so depleted. They actually now give enough power to this independent thought form to make choices based on its existence, such as maybe avoiding that person or practicing spiritual self-protection so that nobody can, you know, quote unquote, steal their energy. Now, what's actually happening is that they've engaged with this independent negative thought form through the energy of victimization. It's an independent negative thought form because victimization is never in alignment with our divine soul blueprint. Victimization is kind of the opposite of us being divine beings that are the creators of our own experience, right? So this thought form that just exists could be positive or negative, but for this person who engages with it through the energy of victimization, it's a negative thought form because it affects them negatively. The concept actually takes them out of alignment to their own power, their own spiritual power to create their own experience through victimization. But that's a choice. That's a choice this person made, right? So now they encountered the concept of energy vampire. They've decided other people can steal or take my energy, and therefore I am possibly a victim. Now they can blame being tired and depleted on others. And every time they do, they will feed vital force energy to the independent negative thought form of energy vampire. This happens when we send mental energy towards an idea or concept, but if we actually act on it, that's a lot of energy we feed towards an independent negative thought form because actions require the most energy, a lot of effort, right? So they may now change all of their interactions based on how they engage with the independent negative thought form of energy vampire. They may avoid getting to know new people. They may avoid people in general. They may feel the need to, you know, cleanse their own energy field before bed every night. I'm really not a fan of these kinds of practices because they just scream victimization energy as if something can get in. Nothing can do anything to us. We are creating our own experience all the time. And if we feel the need to cleanse our energy field, that means that we have chosen to muck up our energy field during the day, but we did that, all right? Nothing can come in that we don't choose. So something that is merely a concept, which is kind of mind-blowing, right? That a concept or idea has enough power to determine our actions when we give it that power. Now, I just want to be clear. There's a lot of concepts and ideas that are just independent thought forms that are really positive. But sometimes we engage with one and the behavior, the actions we then take, the actions we choose based on our engagement with that independent thought form is negative. It takes us out of alignment to our divine soul blueprint. And so now it's an independent negative thought form. So the negative part depends on us and how we engage with the thought form. The thought form just exists. But the energy through which we engage and what we do as a result, that's what determines whether the thought form is negative to us or not. So it's a very subjective thing. So in our work, we don't need to know what the specific independent negative thought form is. You know, quite frankly, there's just way too many options. There's millions of them. We want to know how the client is affected and through what energetic quality does a client engage with the independent negative thought form. That's what we want to know. So this is the energy that will affect the client and be expressed through their choices. And that's also the energy they're feeding back to the independent negative thought form as well. We also want to know through which specific chakra the client is engaging with the independent negative thought form. So this gives us further clues as to how the client is affected. For example, if a client engages through victimization at the seventh chakra, they're going to perceive themselves as powerless. They're going to feel like, oh, I don't have a choice. They won't be able to perceive their own choices because they've chosen victimization at the seventh chakra. That's how they're choosing to engage. Now, on the other hand, if someone engages through victimization at the fourth chakra, that's going to affect them differently. They're going to perceive their relationships as people wanting to take advantage of them, wanting to get the upper hand. Basically, they're going to think of victimization coming in through their relationships. So the energy is the same, but knowing through which chakra we engage with an independent negative thought form really gives us more information as to how the client is affected. Now, not all your clients will be engaging with independent negative thought forms, but it's not uncommon. It really isn't. So you can expect to find quite a few of these. And generally, we don't engage with more than one, maybe two, three at the most. I really don't think I've ever found more than that for any one client because, quite frankly, it takes a lot of our energy. It really does. So engaging with independent negative thought forms is fairly common, and pointing out to a client how they're engaging negatively with the world helps the client shift their own behaviors and therefore their patterns of thought. And our clearing work also helps to disconnect the client temporarily from the independent negative thought form, giving them a window of opportunity for making new choices. So remember, the thought form is just an idea or concept. It's out in the world. It's being nurtured by thousands of other people. What makes it negative is the way we're engaging with it, the energy we're engaging with it through. So for right now, we just want to know, are our clients engaging with independent thought forms that are negative to them, right? And then if yes, what's the energetic statement of the engagement and what chakra? And then we can really point out to our client how they're choosing to engage with basically society, the world, because that's the thing, right? These ideas and concepts are very much a part of society. They're upheld by collective consciousness. And so when we think about engaging with independent negative thought forms, it really is engaging with the world in general. So these are generalized patterns that we then incorporate into our choices, and they're actually taking us out of alignment to our divine soul blueprint and our divine self-expression. So having this information really helps the client understand how they're taking themselves out of alignment to their divinity.